You are listening to audio from University Baptist Church in Beaver Creek, Ohio. Our mission is to make wholehearted followers of Christ who know him and make him known. Please enjoy this week's message and visit us at ubcbeavercreek.com for more information.
Well, amen. I do pray that Jesus is where you take glory. He's your only boast. I pray that your soul is fully satisfied in him this morning as we gather together. And I'm grateful to be with you all this morning to open God's word. Today, we're going to continue in our sermon series called Asking for a Friend. Before we get into today's message, let me just mention a couple things. First of all, college students, just want to reiterate what Bryson said earlier, that I know that you're completing your kind of final week of school this upcoming week, and we're definitely going to miss you, especially those of you who are graduating and moving on. We're going to miss you. We love having a church full of college students. Those of you who are returning, we will look forward to seeing you next year for sure. By the time you come back, we'll probably have three services on Sunday morning, so we might have some more room for your friends, and everybody doesn't have to sit in the overflow. We also, Lord willing, will have some more parking by then, which will make everybody full of great joy and overflowing hearts. Gladness will be abundant, all right? But college students, finish strong this week, and we'll look forward to seeing many of you next year. I also wanted to tell you that starting this week, this upcoming week, I begin my sabbatical. And so sabbaticals are periods of extended time off, paid time off, that we give to our full-time staff after they complete 5 years of service. And so I already completed my sixth year of service and never took a sabbatical before. So I'm like a year late. So I'm going to take my sabbatical. I'll be spending some time out with my family, and I'll be out of the office until mid-June. And we're going to be worshiping with other churches on Sundays. We're going to be, you know, missing all the activities of the church here for the next several weeks. Other people are going to be preaching here all the way up until June 23rd. And so I just wanted to mention this to you, A, so that you know it, but also that you would be in prayer. Please pray for our church staff as they pick up the responsibilities that I would have. Pray for Scott Dixon as he oversees and organizes our preaching ministry and those who will be filling the pulpit. And he's also going to be chairing our deacons or our elders ministry while I'm gone. Pray also for my family, if you will, that we would rest well, connect with each other, connect with Jesus together. I'm trusting that this is going to be a sweet time off for us. Admittedly, it's going to be hard for us to not be here. I like coming here on the Sundays when I'm not preaching. I actually like our church, you know? And so it's going to be hard for us to be gone. I'm going to miss you for sure during sabbatical, and to just ask for your prayers for my family. Today, we are going to continue in our sermon series called Asking for a Friend. And in this series, we have been answering questions that Christians and other people are often afraid to ask out loud. So this is the fifth year in a row that we have done a series like this after Easter. In previous years, we've tackled questions like, how can I know that God exists? How can there really be suffering in the world if God is good? What happens to me right after I die? All sorts of other questions that we often wonder but are afraid to maybe ask out loud and talk about. And so if you didn't know, we turned the sermons from those previous years into little booklets that are on display out in the lobby and at the Welcome Center. And those booklets are free. They are available for you to take and take one copy, take multiple copies for you or for others. We want to make them a resource to you. So that's previous year's sermons. But in this year's series, the past few Sundays, we have tackled questions like, what if I'm seriously doubting my Christian faith? And it's been a blessing to see Scott Dixon lead the front porch group that's been meeting on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock over at UBC East, and to really connect and start to discuss and talk through those doubts. We talked last Sunday about, is it okay for me to be angry at God? And so, you know, through the course of these past three Sundays, it has been wonderful to see God stirring in people's hearts, to see people move toward God, to see people start to think and process and listen to what the Lord is doing in their lives. And so that's what we've covered in this year's sermon so far. Today, I want to look at a new question. The question for today is this: why is my Christian growth so slow? Like, why does it seem so slow? Maybe you've asked that question. Maybe you've had moments where you've considered that question. Why does my Christian growth seem so slow? In most of our homes, we probably have something in a room that looks kind of like this, if we can put the little picture up. This is my 9-year-old daughter, Liberty, standing against the growth wall in our home, right? You can see where she's trying to see if she's catching her big brothers, big sisters, big sister. And it seems, you know, do you remember, did you guys have those growing up in your homes? Like, you know, when it's interesting because when you have one as parents, you look at that and it like becomes nostalgic to you. You're like, oh, I just remember when they were so little and now they're giants, you know, and like you remember the old days and, you know, all of that. And as a parent, man, it just seems like the time flies by. But do you remember what it's like when you're a kid? You're like, what? I only grew a millimeter since yesterday? Yeah, like, yeah, it's like, come on, you know, you feel like you want it to, what's taking so long? Because to a kid, their growth feels so slow. And the truth is, as God's kids working through this Christian life, our growth can feel so slow. That's the question. Why does my Christian growth seem so slow? And the way I want to work through this message today is this. I want to give you 4 reasons why your growth can seem so slow. Then I want to follow it up with 3 responses when your growth feels slow. And I hope that you leave here today with a fresh, like renewed appreciation for the slow growth that God normally gives us in Christ. So just to preclude anyone from being confused about really what we're talking about here today, let me just make sure that I clarify what I mean by Christian growth. What I mean by that, it's the process of becoming more like Jesus over time, right? That's Christian growth. Your process starts when you're saved. That's when it begins, when you repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and recognize him as Savior and Lord of your life. Then you are born again, and that's when your Christian growth process starts. I hope everybody in this room has started that process. If you haven't yet started that process of Christian growth because you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, my prayer is that today you would trust Christ and start to grow. But it begins when you're saved, when you're born again. That's when the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in you. You become a new creation in Christ. Old things start to pass away. All things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Your old sin nature starts dying away. Your new Christian nature starts growing. Romans 5 talks about this. You begin what Galatians 5 talks about as a new walk day by day. You start to learn what it means to walk in the Holy Spirit. You start to become shaped by the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 talks about how God has given us his word for reproof and correction and training and godliness. So those things begin. And as that process starts and continues through your life, you become more like Jesus over time. So that's what I mean by Christian growth. So the question is, why does my Christian growth seem so slow? I want to share with you 4 reasons why your Christian growth can seem so slow. And let me just say this. Today's message, it's really more of a kind of a pastoral talk rather than kind of an exposition or a sermon. You know, usually if you come here all the time, you know, usually I like to take one passage and kind of focus on it and exposit it out. Today it's more like if I was sitting with you and you were asking me this question, why? I would probably open up my Bible and take you to different passages and say, it could be this, it could be that. Think, have you considered this or that? So today we're going to walk through different passages of Scripture that I think help give us answers to that question. 4 reasons why your Christian growth seems so slow. Here's the first one. The first reason is because it is usually slow. Right? It seems slow because it is usually slow. Your spiritual growth, my spiritual growth, usually happens slowly. It happens over a period of time. It's normally just kind of steady and slow. Now, the Bible talks about the Christian life in various ways. The Bible gives different metaphors for the Christian life. I want you to think about some of them that the Bible presents here. The Bible talks about the Christian life like farmers planting crops. If you read Galatians chapter 6, you can read about that. If you think about Jesus' words with kind of vines, vine dresser, us being branches and bearing fruit, there's kind of that, there's that agricultural type organic growth that's talked about through Scripture. The Bible also talks about in Ephesians 4 that our Christian life is also kind of like children growing up, coming into maturity. If you were at the men's conference this past week, then you know Scott Dixon preached a great message on that growth into mature manhood in Christ. Hebrews 12 talks about the Christian life like runners running a race, how we endure patiently as we run the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, right? So it's a run. We often say that the Christian life, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's a long lifetime walk and run with Jesus. The Bible also talks about how the Christian life is, it's like people on a walk. All these metaphors, what do they all have in common? They all infer that they all convey the message that the Christian life is a slow process. I want you to think specifically about how the New Testament speaks of the Christian life like a walk. In 2 Corinthians, it's not just the New Testament, it's also the Old Testament, but the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Galatians 5:16 says that when we walk with the Spirit, we won't gratify the needs of the desires of the flesh. Colossians 2:6, it says that as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. 1 John chapter 1 talks about how we need to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 2 says that, if we love Jesus, then we must walk as Jesus walked. So the Christian life is a walk. Even in the Old Testament, people are described as having walked with God. So you can think about people like Enoch, people like Abraham, people like Noah. The Scripture says that they walked with God. Maybe the most familiar passage in the whole Bible about walking with God comes from Micah chapter 6, verse 8, which says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." The Bible describes the Christian life as a walk. I know this is basic, guys, but a walk takes time. You don't, like, walking is different from teleporting, right? It's like you're not just here, boom. It's a process. Going for a walk is, you're not trying to speed it up, you know, the way that you would when you're trying to drive a car or take an airplane. It's not sprinting. It's walking. You go slow, step by step, a little at a time, and that's what the Christian life is like. It's like a walk. When we go on family vacations, when we get to go to the beach, one of my favorite parts of our family vacation at the beach is each time we go, we set aside a dedicated time for me to take a long beach walk with each of my daughters individually. And I love that so much. We just talk. We walk and talk. That's just what we do. Sometimes we've seen sharks and dolphins. That made it pretty cool. But we just walk and talk and laugh and pick up shells and talk about life and what's going on with our friends and our hearts with Jesus and all these things that just happen. And we're not trying to rush it. We're not trying to get it over with quickly. We just go for as long as we want. And in doing so, what happens there? It's this sweet time of relationship building, that time shared that really invests in your relationship. So the process of walking builds the relationship. The Christian life is a walk, slow, deliberate. The problem is we live in a world that is so fast-paced, right? I mean, every time we turn around, we want something instantly. You know, things have to be high speed and fast food and quick, quick, quick. And you know, we want things fast. It's why we can want to make things efficient. So we try to accomplish things in as short of, you know, as few steps as possible. 3 steps to this, 5 steps to that. But when it comes to relationships, I mean, it's kind of unimaginable for us to think that a thriving relationship just kind of happens if you follow 3 simple steps. I can't imagine being like, hey honey, we're going to go on a beach walk for 5 steps. Yeah, like, of course not. Relationships take time. This week I was reading an article by a man named Scott Hubbard who writes for desiringgod.org, which is a website I really like to learn from. And Scott writes this in an article there. He says, "In Scripture, we see that mature Christ-likeness does not happen in a month, a year, or a decade, but over a whole lifetime. Holiness has no 10-step plan. Only a plan with 10 million steps. A plan that ends only when we die. Or could I just add a J-wing caveat? Or if Jesus comes, right? It's intended to last our lifetime. You know, Christian walk is a process that seems slow because why? It's a walk. It seems slow because it usually is slow. Now, it's not just that. It doesn't just seem slow because it usually is slow. Here's the thing. Our Christian walk also can seem slow because it's occasionally fast. Okay? Because it's occasionally fast. Now, I'm going to take a minute and explain that, but what I mean is that every once in a while, the Lord does some sort of powerful, powerful work in your life. And instead of the usual slow and steady growth, it's like you take a massive leap forward in your walk. You have some breakthrough, some defining moment, some impactful encounter with God. God brings somebody in your life that makes a huge, you know, influence on you. And God seems to move you forward significantly in a quicker way than you're used to. When I think about this in Scripture, I think about different people who had these moments, these encounters with God, and it was like something radically happened in their life right there. I think about people like David, right, where he committed his sin with Bathsheba, and he was grieving and sad, and you start to read Psalm 51, where he had this moment of confession and repentance, and from there, the Lord reminded him of his salvation, and it's like the Lord met David right in that moment of brokenness, and move David on a trajectory of humble trust. God sped it up. He sped up David's growth. You think about people like Thomas, where Thomas has been following Jesus for years. Jesus died and was buried, and Thomas heard the reports of Christ's resurrection, and then Thomas says, you know, unless I see the nails in his hands, unless I'm able to touch the hole in his side, you know, I'm never going to believe. Well, then Jesus actually shows up. And Thomas has this experience with the Lord personally that really galvanized his faith. And if you read church history, you find out that Thomas became so dedicated to the Lord that he wasn't doubting anymore. He took the gospel all the way into India and died a brutal death, sacrificing his life for Christ. God did something amazing in Thomas's life there. You think about people like Apollos, who was a minister of the gospel. He was preaching, he was teaching, but then he met Aquila and Priscilla, and it says in Acts chapter 18 that they taught him the way of God more clearly. And from there he went and ministered again, and later the Apostle Paul refers to him as an outstanding preacher in the book of 1 Corinthians. I mean, the examples keep going. Mary Magdalene, the demoniac in the cemeteries, the man born blind, Jesus gave him his sight. I think about Peter, who had, you know, denied Christ, then was kind of recommissioned by Christ, and then became such an effective preacher. I mean, God's people have these moments of significant experience with the Lord and thereby experience kind of faster-paced growth in that moment. I would just like to kind of say, isn't it? It's kind of like a growth spurt, right? It's kind of like a growth spurt. Guys, when I was in sixth grade, when I graduated from sixth grade, I was 5'3". When I started seventh grade, I was 5'8". Amen, he said. That's right. Amen in my heart. Right? I was amen in my heart all that summer. I'm growing. I'm sprouting past all my friends. I'm feeling like I'm going to the NBA, right? Unfortunately, ever since that time, I only grew one more inch. I decided soccer should become my thing, right? So all through high school, and, you know, I was kind of bummed that it didn't grow anymore. I only grew an inch. But the point is, here's my point. Once you have a growth spurt, all the rest of, like, your normal growth just feels slow. And the truth is, that's kind of the way it can be in the Christian life. You have these growth spurts. You have these significant moments with God, and you experience kind of that Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 stuff where God does far more abundantly in us all that we can ask or think according to his power at work within us. God does something like that, and you're like, all of a sudden, you feel like you've just had an explosion in your faith. Right? Maybe it's a learning point of theology, something in the Word stood out to you, you connected a dot theologically, doctrinally, that you hadn't been able to connect before, and you feel like your growth is exploding. You were able to, by God's grace, you feel like you experienced a deliverance from some sort of sin you struggled with or something that you felt like had a bondage on your life. Maybe you were able to be released from a bitterness that you have been like holding in your heart against someone, and God released you from that by his grace. Or maybe you just had this personal encounter with God's presence and it was just like, wow, God, he puts you on a growth spurt and it's awesome. And you grow like crazy for a short period of time, but then you go back to slow, steady growth. And when you're not in a growth spurt, the truth is we can feel like we're not growing at all. So your growth can often seem slow because it's occasionally fast. Here's a third reason why your Christian growth can seem slow. It's because as you grow, you become more aware and more sensitive toward your sin. Part of growing in your Christian faith is like understanding, oh, this thing over here is sin. This is flesh. This is wrong. And you didn't know all that stuff when you first became a Christian. But as you start to grow, you start to become more aware. And then you're like, you're not just assessing your actions, but then you start to say, okay, Lord, part of my growth and maturity isn't just looking at what I do in my life. It's looking at what I want in my heart and the motivations of my heart and the desires inside of me. And you start to really assess the internal, not just the external stuff. And you start to grow in maturity that way. I think we would all say that the Apostle Paul was a godly man. He's zealous for the Lord. He's thankful for the cross. He's committed to the church. He wanted to fight sin and see it die off in his life. He also wanted to pursue righteousness and holy living. I think we would all say Paul was a godly man. And yet in the scripture, he writes things like 1 Timothy 1:15, where he says, I am the foremost of sinners. He writes things like Ephesians 3:8, where he would say, I am the least of all God's people. He writes things like Romans 7:18 through 25. I just want to look at that with you. Think about these words from the Apostle Paul. He says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I am wanting to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. What a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Isn't it like Paul's dramatic sometimes? Foremost of sinners, least of all God's people. What a wretched man that I am. Like, I think we would have to call Paul out on that, right? But then he says this, thanks be to God who through Jesus Christ our Lord is the one who delivers me from this body of death. You know, I find this so interesting because Paul, he desires to do right, but he ends up doing wrong. He wants to do good, but evil is what he keeps doing. And he says these things where you can tell he's wrestling on the inside. Nothing good dwells in me. Oh, wretched man that I am. You think Paul like wrestled with his own sin? Right? You think he kind of self-assessed and felt like his spiritual growth wasn't quite as fast and as good as he wanted it to be? Absolutely. And I want you to know, at the same time as he's wrestling with this in Romans 7, at the same time it says he's delighting in your law, God. He's delighting in the law of the Lord. He's aware of the spiritual war between the law of God and the law of sin, the battle between the spirit and the flesh. He, at the same time as he's wrestling with the sin, he knows Jesus is the one who's truly the deliverer for him. In other words, he was growing in his life with Jesus and he was growing in his sensitivity to sin at the same time. And the truth is that the pursuit of holiness makes you more sensitive to your sin, and that's why you can sometimes get discouraged by what seems to you to be slow growth. It's actually because you're growing in holiness. And our spiritual growth sometimes seems so slow because we're becoming more aware of our sin. Here's the last thing I want to share today. Sometimes your growth can seem so slow because God wants you to feel the need to keep coming back to him day by day. Sometimes your spiritual, sometimes God lets you feel like your spiritual growth is so slow because he wants you to feel that need to come back to him day by day. It's why we read things in scripture like Jesus says, hey, here's how you should pray. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Because Christ wanted us to know that we need God's provision for us daily. We don't have a day where we are self-sufficient. We need him. It's why the scripture talks in Lamentations 3 about how God's mercies are new for us every morning. Well, why would God need to provide mercy for us every morning? Here's why. Because we need his mercy every morning. I like the way Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, where he says, so we do not lose heart. Though the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed. How often? Anybody still with me? How often? Day by day, right? So I want you to catch that idea of the inner man being renewed day by day. Day by day is the slow process. It's not like the scripture saying, hey, don't lose heart because, you know, I gave you an encouragement boost a month ago, a year ago, and you could just ride that wave. No, your inner man needs to be renewed day by day by day. So God is telling us that that renewal needs to happen daily. Every day we kind of dry out a little bit. Every day we lose a little hope and the full bucket of our hearts, like hope in Christ, starts to leak out and dwindle down a little. We start to lose a little bit of our zeal for the Lord. We can maybe forget day by day a little bit about how much God loves us and Christ has redeemed us and is with us, so we can feel like we're losing a little bit of growth day by day. Therefore, because we feel that emptying out day by day, we also feel the need for renewal day by day. And the truth is, God wants you to feel that need each and every day, because the mercy that he gave you for yesterday, it's not sufficient for today's stuff. The mercy that God gave you for today, you know, you're gonna need new mercies tomorrow morning. He wants to fulfill your heart afresh each day. So he says, come, ask me for your daily bread. Depend on my new morning mercies. And when we feel that need, what are we going to do? When we feel like, oh, I'm not where I need to be today. Well, we're going to say, Lord, make me where I need to be today. Get my heart where it needs to be. And so we're going to trust in him day by day. The reality is, guys, when God saved us and started us, you know, walking with him in our Christian faith, he could have saved us and fully sanctified us instantly. But he chose to make us grow progressively over time. God designed us to have this kind of felt neediness, because I think part of that's because he wants us to go to him day by day for that daily walk and a sense of dependency. I think this is true. If we only felt our need for God once a month, we'd probably only go to him once a month. If we only felt our need for God once a year, we might just go to him once a year, or once a decade, or whatever it is. But God allows us to feel that daily need because he wants to walk with us day by day. Part of the reason God allows our growth to seem so slow is so that we come back to him daily. So, to summarize, why does our spiritual growth seem so slow? First of all, because it usually is slow. We're walking with the Lord, not teleporting, right? Second, because it sometimes isn't slow. Sometimes it's fast. We have growth spurts. Another reason it seems so slow is because as you grow, you get more sensitive to sin. And last, it seems slow because God wants you to feel the need to come back to him day by day. So let's just say that that's you today. You feel slow in your growth. I've given you four reasons for that. Let me give you three responses when you feel your growth is slow. First one is this. We've just talked about this for the last 7 or 8 minutes. Keep walking with Jesus day by day. Keep walking with Jesus day by day. Listen, some of you might be here today and you might be in that spot where you're thinking of just kind of giving up on the Christian life. It's like, what impact is it making on my life? You know, so many people, they walk away from their faith for many reasons. Some people walk away from their faith because they're drawn to worldly things like money and riches and, you know, career and friendships and relationships. You know, some people walk away for that. Some people walk away because they have a habit or a struggle that, frankly, they love that desire of the flesh more than they love Christ. They walk away. Other people walk away from their faith because they go through some sort of really deep hurt or pain or suffering. But other people leave simply because they're tired of the slow growth. They're not satisfied with slow and steady growth. They want powerful, supernatural experiences day by day. They don't like the slow and steady growth. They read the Bible and they read the Gospels and the ministry of Jesus, and you see a miracle here and a miracle there, and you can read through the Gospel of Matthew in like an hour, and you see all these miracles, and you think, okay, Lord, where's my miracles? I want to see the powerful works, supernatural works. And you forget, like, all these miracles that are recorded in the Gospels, like, they all took place over a span of like 3.5 years. It's not like they were happening every 5 minutes. You read the book of Acts and you're like, what about this? Powerful movements of God in the church and wondrous, miraculous things. Don't forget the events in the book of Acts, like, they took place over the course of 30 years. I mean, it's like usually there was slow, steady growth, and then momentarily sometimes there were these big moments with God. But some people, they get frustrated because they think they don't really want slow, steady growth. And they walk away, they quit, they turn away. They're tired of struggling. They get embarrassed about their sin. They don't want to have to go back to God day by day. Let me just say this, especially to those of you who might be struggling. Like, some people, I think, they get so ashamed. They don't want to have to confess their sin again. Here I am, God, same struggle. It's the 100,000th time I've confessed it to you. And so they just get tired of that, and I think sometimes that's because we think of God as somebody who folds his arms at us and scowls when we come, and like, we think of him like somebody who's like, you should have been past this by now. When really we need to remember some things about God, that if you are his, he has separated your sin as far as you from the east is from the west. He has buried it in the sea and remembers it no more. Our Savior, you need to remember. You might get so bogged down and discouraged because struggles keeping you growing slow. Let me tell you something. The Lord never expected you to grow instantaneously. He knew every single struggle you would ever have before you were ever created, before you were ever born. Jesus went to the cross knowing every besetting sin that you would carry in your life all of your days. And Jesus loved you anyways. He died for you. He gave his life for you. He shed his blood for you. Because as simple as it sounds, don't forget the basic. The God who walks daily with you loves you. God's heart is for you. He loves you. He enjoys the slow, steady time with you. It's not a burden to him. So if you're tired of the slow growth, you're considering giving up on your faith, don't give up. It takes time to grow with Jesus, and Jesus enjoys that time with you. There was an old hymn writer named Horatius Bonner, and he sometimes wrote about these things he would call the daily littles. And here's what he writes in one of his books he was writing. He says that the Christian life is a great thing, one of the greatest things on earth. Made up of daily littles, it is yet in itself not a little thing. Let me just ask you this morning, are you glad you're saved? You glad that Jesus walks with you day by day? You thankful this morning to be a Christian and to be able to live a life with Christ on this earth? I mean, I'm so thankful. But let me tell you, like, that in and of itself is a great thing, but it is made up of the daily littles. Little moments, little reminders, little kind of droplets of grace that the Lord just puts in your life moment by moment. Praise the Lord for the daily littles. Don't give up on Jesus. Walk with him day by day. Remember the daily littles and your Christian growth will come. Here's a second response for those of you who feel like your growth is so slow. A helpful thing for me has been to mark my Ebenezers. I encourage you to mark your Ebenezers. Plot them out, you know, kind of think about your life like on a timeline and start to plot those high and low moments in your life. Remember the moments with God, the kind of the landmark moments. By the way, Ebenezers, I know that most of you probably know what those are. If you're newish to the scripture, you may not know this. All through the Old Testament, God's people would take these stones and they would set them out kind of in a similar way that we might set out monuments or something now. And they would set out these stones as markers and reminders of saying, you know what? God has brought us this far. Let's remember what he did in this moment. Let's put a marker here. Those were called Ebenezers. And so when you're struggling in your spiritual growth, you feel like it's so slow. Sometimes it's helpful to have those Ebenezers plotted out on a life timeline so that you can look back and say, oh yeah, I remember 17 years ago, he did this. And I remember 14 years ago, I was struggling with that. And then God brought me out of it. And wow, that was a growth spurt. Oh boy, remember when our marriage was really hurting? Remember when we didn't know how provision was going to come? And you can start to have these things where you can look back on the Lord and you can see his hand. And you can see his transforming power, not just what he did in the circumstances of your life, but what he did in your own heart and how he changed you on the inside. And you start to like see this kind of unfolding plan of God, and man, you can look back and you can say, praise the Lord for your transforming grace in my life. John Newton, the man who wrote the song Amazing Grace, he once said this. He said, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world, but still I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's a man who has marked his Ebenezers. Like he's saying, Lord, it's true. I'm not yet who I want to be, but praise you, Lord, I'm not who I once was. I'm so great. Okay. Man, there's a lot of rough edges in my life, but I am so grateful for God's transforming work. He's so good to us. Mark your Ebenezers. It helps. If you're struggling with your slow growth, here's the last thing. Cling to the completion promise of Philippians 1:6. Cling to the completion promise of Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6 says this. It says, Paul writes and he says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to what? Completion at the day of Christ Jesus. That's a promise that we can cling to in Scripture. Paul's confidence was in God. The God who began the work is going to finish the work. And it's not just that Paul's confidence was in God. Your confidence can be in God. My confidence can be in God. Because the God who began the work in us is the same God who promises to complete the work in us. Praise God for his completing work. I'll end with just a simple illustration. There's a French sculptor named Auguste Rodin. It's my best French attempt. All right. Rodin is considered by many to be perhaps the greatest sculptor in history. He made thousands of bronze and marble statues and sculptures. Probably the most famous of all of his is the one that we call the Thinker. Incredible detail on this sculpture. Imagine how long and how much intentionality had to come in making this incredible sculpture. But think about it like this. Imagine if one day a guy went into Rodin's sculpture workshop and walks in and he kind of sees these half-sculpted blocks of clay and, you know, kind of stone and blocks and bronze kind of just sitting out everywhere. Some are just a body. Some are a body, but, you know, like a square block for a head, and others are, you know, just missing limbs and, you know, arms. And, you know, imagine that visitor, you know, in his pride and starts to say, well, what's going on here? This doesn't really look much like a person. It's just a head, just arms. Like, none of this looks like real people. And I can just imagine Rudeau turning to him and simply saying, they're not finished yet. They're not finished yet. Because every master sculpture takes time to complete. And let me just say this. The Christian life takes time to complete. It is, every Christian starts out just like a rough block of stone. We don't start out on the day we're born again, the day we're saved, we don't start out looking like Jesus. Little by little, day by day, experience by experience, moment by moment, grace by grace, God shapes us. And along the way, yes, you can see the progress. There's Ebenezer moments coming into sight. But brothers and sisters in Christ, like, are you frustrated with your slow growth? Let's just, as simple as this is, remember, God's not finished yet. When you get struggling with your slow growth, remember, God hasn't given up on you. He's continuing to work his plan day by day. None of us starts our Christian life looking like Jesus. But little by little, day by day, God conforms us more and more to the image of his Son until one day, at the day of Christ Jesus, he will bring us to completion. So for now, be okay with the slow growth and thank the Lord for the growth spurts. Lord, we stop right now and we recognize that we are people who are, we easily self-condemn. We want things fast. We live in a culture that really emphasizes speed and expediency and immediate results. And Lord, at least for me, I am reminded this week of how you enjoy the daily walk. And I pray, Lord, for all of us who can maybe wrestle with wanting immediate results, I pray that you would give us a renewed thankfulness for that felt need of I'm not where I need to be, because you want us to know, like, day by day, Lord, that we need you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would move all of our hearts to day by day walk with you, because we feel the need. And we thank you, Lord, that you promise to supply all of our need, that you will renew our inner man day by day. Lord, I want to pray specifically for people in this room who have had the same besetting sin in their life for a long time. It feels like a thorn in the flesh. They keep asking you to get it out of there, and hear it. It slows them down on their race, that they want to run fast with you. Lord, for people like that, my prayer is for a mighty delivering work in their lives. And yet, Lord, even praying that, we trust that you may or may not do it. Lord, we ask you to give people who have that felt need a sense, not just of your delivering work, give them a strong sense of your presence. Remind them of your love. Remind them that you have grace that is sufficient for the day. Lord, I ask that you would meet us all right where we are, and over time, I pray that you would make us a people in this church that are satisfied with the slow and steady growth, enjoying our daily walk with you, and that, Lord, especially when we bump into each other who are also in the moments of slow and steady growth, that we would have grace for each other, that we would love each other through the growth process. We thank you for a church family where we can indeed have you grow us together. Thank you for your unending love and for the work of your Spirit in our lives. We need you. We want you. We trust you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.